At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding, and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. At the time that Jesus walked the earth, and long before that, the rabbis in the Jewish religion would gather young people to themselves as disciples, and they would choose someone who they felt would be a good teacher of the Jewish religion. And they often would say to their students, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And what that meant was what they believed about God, about the world, about everything, they wanted their students to believe as well. In other words, they wanted to have their worldview shared by their students. And that's why they said these words, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So they would place a sort of worldview upon these young people, and these young people would learn the ways of their religion and hand it on to others. And so the Lord Jesus, who is the great teacher, the great rabbi, he's actually living out of this sacred tradition of teaching. And his words actually are a repetition of what rabbis of his time and before that would say to their disciples. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. But the Lord Jesus is more than just a great teacher. He is the Son of the Father. He is the Lord. And when he says these words, he adds something to it that is very interesting. He tells his disciples or his students and us that if we take his worldview upon ourselves, if we take his wisdom and make it our own, then we will find rest for ourselves. We'll find this interior peace of heart, serenity, that people long for. Many of the great saints experienced this interior rest, this interior peace. Augustine was one of them. He lived about 1700 years ago, and he had followed all kinds of teachings that led him astray and left him feeling empty, and he didn't know the best way to live until, through this miraculous working of divine providence, he came to encounter the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that led him to baptism, to confirmation, to the Eucharist, to a life of prayer, to a life of obeying God's will in the law of the Lord, and ultimately to become a priest, bishop, and a great saint, doctor of the church. And St. Augustine had this wonderful prayer that manifests his discovering of the peace that came to him when he took upon himself the worldview or the eternal view, the eternal wisdom of Jesus. You have made us for yourself, O Lord. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And it's true for us also. If we try to take upon ourselves the worldview of Jesus about everything, then we will find rest for ourselves. You see, the Lord Jesus is someone whose teaching we can trust with all our hearts. He's proven that we can trust in him by his suffering, death, and resurrection. Now, let's think about how this can actually affect our lives, taking upon ourselves the wisdom of Christ and making it our own. For example, the reality of God. The view of Jesus is very clear. God exists. He's very near to us. He's our Father. And how often we can forget this simple truth. We get so distracted. We get so caught up in the sort of mire of our present circumstances that we forget that God is the Creator, that he sustains our life, that he sees us and blesses us. He's our Heavenly Father. Or how about the reality of whether God loves you? Now, some people believe in God, but they don't believe that God loves them. Years ago, I met a young man who was kind of a tough guy, and his life was in all kinds of trouble, and I tried to just, you know, talk to him and be there for him, and he would talk about God, and I told him that God loved him, and he turned around and walked away from me. And then he came back and he walked towards me again, and he talked about God again, and he asked, what do I think about his relationship to God? And I told him that God loved him, and he turned around again, and what I found out is that he started to cry every time I told him that God loved him. And he did not want to show his tears to me because he was a big tough guy. But he had gone his whole life and no one had ever told him that God loved him. I was the first person to tell him that. And you might get into that dark spot sometime in your life where you believe in God, but you don't think he loves you. You feel that he's rejected you. Well, you got to take upon yourself the view of Jesus. Jesus says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God loves you. And that's the end of that. He loves you. So just perish the thought that he does not love you. He does. Well, we can think of the reality of eternity. Sometimes we think it's just this world only. And a lot of people live for this world only. And it actually can lead them to make decisions that are very unwise and uncharitable and unjust. Well, the view of Jesus teaches us there is heaven, there is hell, and we have to live for heaven. That's most important. The journey's not most important, it's where you end up. That's most important. If you have the most exciting journey and you don't end up in heaven, it's not a good thing. Jesus teaches us there is heaven, there is hell. We have to live on the path to heaven by living a good, virtuous, and moral life. Then we have the reality of sin. The view of Jesus is that sin is real and it's very serious. It's the worst thing actually in the world, sin. If you got rid of sin in everybody's life across the earth, you'd have no wars. You'd have no injustices. There would be perfect, almost perfect communion among peoples. Well, sin causes all kinds of trouble. And sin is very serious, and we have to move against it in our own lives. Otherwise, it will dominate us. It will acquire an oppression of our lives and control us and guide us into directions that we really don't want to be in. But at the same time, we have to believe in God's mercy, His infinite mercy. This was manifest very clearly on the cross when Jesus forgave that dying, repentant criminal who was next to him on the other cross. And in the many parables, especially the parable of the prodigal son and his father, God's mercy is infinite. We've got to accept this twofold teaching of our great teacher, Jesus, that sin is very serious. We've got to work against it. That God's mercy is infinite. That no matter what your sins are, it's not the end of the world. You have to turn to Jesus and receive his forgiveness. But don't let your belief in divine mercy make you think that it's okay to sin, because that's not right. You have to love God, and it's not good for you to go down the path of sin. And then we come to our purpose in life. When we go through life and we feel that we don't have a purpose anymore, we lose a desire to live, and we almost feel that the whole world knows that we have no purpose. We feel like we're just bouncing through life and waiting for it to end. And that's really not a good spirit to move with. Jesus teaches us in his great teaching that we have a purpose and it's God's will. In the Our Father prayer, we say, Thy will be done to God our Father. And so every day then, we have a mission. We have a purpose every day. We have a purpose of doing God's will, of turning away from anything that goes against God's will and striving to do His will and to know His will for our lives. In this way, you always have a purpose every day, a really, really important purpose that's good not only for you, but for everybody else who knows you and encounters you. We don't often think about that doing God's will in our own lives actually is beneficial to so many other people. Then we have relationships. Relationships are a natural thing of life. it's something that comes from our very being. Our first experience of life is relationship in our mother's womb. And our whole life is relationships. A lot of people get into trouble with not following a path of wisdom and their relationships. Well, the Lord Jesus teaches us that our relationships must be based on love and responsibility, upon purity and honor. And that will bring to us relationships that are grace-filled, that really give us a sense of life. Then we have negative things in life that we don't like to experience. One of them is suffering. And when suffering comes into our lives, whether it's major suffering or a lot of small sufferings, it makes us think that our life's mission has been derailed, that our life has been ruined, and it can weigh us down. But the vision of Jesus, the worldview of Jesus on suffering, doesn't allow us to go down that path of despair. His view is the cross. And then when we suffer, we're sharing in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that cross is redemptive. It has the power to change hearts and to save souls. It has the power to make you grow closer to the Lord. The cross teaches us that when suffering comes our way, it's not the end. Our lives are not ruined. There is a deeper plan unfolding. God has not forgotten you. He's working on a plan that's going to end in great victory. So, when you suffer, your response is to trust in the Lord Jesus. And finally, the thing we hate the most is death. Even when we know that death is part of life and it's coming for us all, when we know it's something that we have to deal with, we still hate it. But what is the worldview? What is the vision of Christ with regard to death? His vision, think about it, is something he conquered. He conquered very easily in the glory of his resurrection. When we celebrate Easter Sunday each year, we really meditate intensely upon this vision of Christ, that he's conquered death. And so what this means for us is that we have hope, that we look forward to eternal life, risen life in Christ. The resurrection of Christ and the eternal life he promises is more real than the reality of death. It's more powerful. And we have to live in that hope. There's so many things. There are so many things that we can learn from the wisdom of Jesus, this great rabbi, this eternal son of the Father. That's why it's important for us to read the Holy Gospels and to study the catechism of the Catholic Church. So, we have this great teacher. And if we don't accept his worldview, then we're not going to find that peace for which God made us and for which we long. Jesus does not bring to us modern wisdom, which changes from day after day or generation after generation. He brings to us eternal wisdom. May we be good students of this great rabbi, this Lord and Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In this way, we will come to experience that peace, that interior rest for our souls, for which we long, and which is so real. And we shall be on the best path possible for our lives, the path towards heaven.